Okay, we've got open lines for you. This is our final hour to go here, midweek. Open lines, lots going on. Don't forget to stay with us all week long. We'll tell you a little bit what's in store for tomorrow's Coast to Coast show, but let's get back to your calls when we come right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go out to Denver, Colorado. Steve is with us. Steve, what's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, George. I'm addicted to your show.
Thanks. Appreciate
I have
it.
A Bigfoot encounter that's really different than any Ooh. I've ever seen or heard. By the way, I grew up in the Beeville Mill area of St. Louis.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, it's great. My daughter has a house down in that area. She loves it.
Okay. So my fiance lived in Fargo, North Dakota. So I went to visit her, and her family was going to spend a week at their cabin on a lake in Minnesota. We didn't drive very far, so it must be just inside the state line somewhere. And I overheard her and her sisters were going to go swimming at dawn. Well, I'm 23 years old. I want to go swimming at dawn, you know? So I get up and get dressed, and they're all sleeping. So I go outside. I was like, well, I got to do something. You know, I'm up. And
you're ready to go.
Yeah, it would look weird if I, you know. So they had this little 12, 15-foot wooden fishing boat with an outboard and had a couple rods in it. Even had a can of worms in it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to a little island out in front in the middle of the lake. I'm going to go to the other side of the island. And then if I come back during the swim party, it's because, I was fishing. So go around the other side of the island. There's all these crappie. And I've dropped the anchor, and I'm catching them. Like, as soon as I put the worms in, I'm catching them. I got about five or six, and I hear somebody walking behind me, and I didn't even look right away because I figured it was somebody in those wader boots, just because there were so many fish in the area.
Yeah.
So I look over, and here's this thing, and standing up, not more than 4.5 foot tall. It was a kid or a teenager or some kind of, you know, a very small Sasquatch, and it was looking under rocks for stuff. And I'm going through the whole wild kingdom, like, it doesn't have a beaver tail, it doesn't have a bear face. You know, I'm, like, trying to make sense out of what this
sure.
is.
Sure. I mean, and clearly, did it look more animal or more human?
Oh, it looked, it was totally covered with hair, even the face. But the face was human looking, but totally covered with hair.
Okay.
Dark hair. And we're only, like, 30, 40 feet apart. So I'm looking at him or her, and he's looking at me, and we're making eye contact. And after I went through the whole wild kingdom, all of a sudden I'm like, what is this? So I pull up the anchor, and if I had to do it over, I'd have thrown him the fish. But
yeah, and he probably would have taken it.
Yeah. And he didn't look like, I mean, he could have got to me easily before I got the anchor and the motor, and it wasn't really that, but I did, like, all of a sudden the hair on my neck stood up and stuff once I realized what was going on. So I started the engine, went around to barely around the island, and I watched him for a while. Never got down on all fours, walked around on 2 feet the whole time.
Was he staring at you still?
No, he thought I was gone.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I was far enough away and around the a little around the island where he really couldn't see me, but I could see him. And so I go back and I tell everybody, and they're all like, oh, you city slicker, you know, you saw a duck. So, you know, no, because I wasn't going to go back.
A duck?
Well, you know, I mean, they thought I was
a hairy duck.
Yeah, that I didn't know what was going on because I was from St. Louis. And, you know, so nobody would go back with me, and I was afraid to go back by myself. But anyway, that was my Sasquatch encounter.
Are you convinced? Are you convinced to this day that Sasquatch then is real?
Oh, I know it is. Once you see one, what choice do you have after
yeah.
that?
Yeah, but what do you think it is? A monkey or an ape? What or something even higher than
the that? Eyes? To me, seem like an ape, and they were very piercing, you know. And the Native Americans, they say, according to their lore, the smaller ones come out early in the morning, and the bigger ones.
Yeah. Now, you know how an ape has, like, that wide nose? Did this have the same kind of shape?
I'd say not as wide and flat as an ape, more like a human nose, but it was covered with hair, I think, unless it was just dark.
No, you're probably right. How about the shape of its head?
Round, pretty round. That's why I was trying to think whatever, like beavers or whatever, what has a round head.
Yeah.
But like I said, I went through all the animals.
This was no beaver.
No beaver tail, no bear face, no, I exhausted all my wild kingdom animals. And I got afraid, but it wasn't because of anything that it did.
Right.
Once I realized what I was 30, 40 feet from, and we used to look at each other for what seemed like at least a few minutes,
Yeah, it didn't seem to be afraid of you either.
No, and then when I first saw it, it still kept picking up the, it was looking under the rocks in the very shallow water. I don't know if it's looking for crayfish or what it was looking for, but...
I wonder if you had waved at it, if it would have waved back.
I don't know. And so I watched every show and that, trying to... I did see one on this... they were up in Alaska, and there was one kind of looking through the trees, a little one. That's the closest to the one I saw. Most of the ones that they show don't look anything like the one I saw.
Yeah.
But it was little. It could have been like a 2-year-old or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, that's a good story. Hey, thank you so much. Let's go next to Gary in Santa Maria, California, on the wild card line. Hello, Gary.
Oh, hi, George. I want to talk about the grid. I was poking around in the Coast Archives, and I saw that in 2013 you predicted that there would be a sun flare that would get everybody's attention. But in 2012, there was a Carrington-level event, and they didn't even tell us about it until 2014.
And we were lucky because it went off the side of the sun, not directly at us.
And they didn't mention a word about it.
No, I had it. We had it.
You are you're really good with promotion. You have a late Leo rising. So does Donald Trump. He's also Gemini with late Leo. Marilyn Monroe, Gemini with late Leo. Amadjar, Pierre Amadjar, CEO of eBay, Gemini, late Leo. P.T. Barnum. Late Leo.
P.T. I love P.T.
Pardon me?
I love P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, well, he's right in the last part of Leo, just like you, Trump, Marilyn, all of you guys. You're natural-born promoters. This audience needs to give you a little boost. We've got to do something to get somebody's attention. It's not working. People, don't you realize this is Russian roulette with two rounds in the chamber? Your life is over 3 to 7 days after we either get hammered by a nuclear EMP or a solar EMP. The wall that Trump wants to do won't matter when you're watching your kids starve to death, where there's no water, where the sewage is backed up. There's nothing more important in the world. What is wrong with these people? I suspect that we need what I would call tactical intention. Use that app that you have from Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get you in the right astrological ballpark. Forget the fine-tuning. I like to do fine-tuning. But if you get the right app, the right time period with that, and start focusing on each one of these candidates. If you're for Hillary, fine. Intention the grid to be hardened. If you're for Trump, intention the grid to be hardened. If you're for Sanders, intention him. Come in on their emotional level. We got to get this done. We may not have any time at all. It's like a 12% chance it's going to happen. What has to be done is creativity, George.
I know.
You're the one.
And let us hope. Let's hope to God one day, I don't say, folks, we've got 2 days before it hits us. It's an X50 because we're up a creek. And this is what's going to happen. All power goes out. Even though we have generators here to keep us going for several days, you can't get us. The radio station powers will go out, the local station that you're listening to. Your radios will go out. You won't have any power. You'll rush to get to the ATM because you're going to want to get some cash. It won't work. You'll rush to the gas station to try to fill up your car. The pump won't work. You run to the store to try to get some food because you didn't pick up the storable stuff yet. And the stores are closed. People are breaking windows. They predict within 1 year, 90% of the people in this country will die if the power grid goes down. 90%, 270 million people within a year will die. And it's a simple fix. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Gary obviously is not going to stop talking about it. It's a $2 billion fix. It's chump change. Every corporation that exists via the internet, because your computers will go down, they should all kick in some cash to get this going. They really should. Anyways, enough of that, but we've got to get the grid fixed. Let's go to Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Stacy's with us now. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment, but the other night when you were talking about coincidences,
mm-hmm.
I was on hold, but I know you ran out of time. But I wanted to make a comment first. The other caller, when you asked him, because he's blind, how you know when you're awake?
Right.
I'm blind. Well, I'm blind, too. But you know you're awake when you're not sleeping, because you can tell when you wake up, you know that you're not sleeping.
You can't, because I'm trying to picture it. You know, I've got my eyes closed right now. Everything's dark in the studio. Everything's quiet if I'm not talking. And I'm just wondering if you can sense being... See, when I wake up, I know I'm awake because I can see things.
Wait, well, see, I know I'm awake. Like, say, you have to use the restroom when you wake up to go. Or you can feel yourself when you're sleeping. You can feel yourself sleeping. And you do dream. I mean, blind people dream, too. And some people think, well... How can you dream if you can't see? But when I dream, it's like a 3D. I do what I'm dreaming.
Right. You know? But, I mean, right. Do you know when you're in bed and you wake up, do you know immediately that you're awake?
Yes, because I wake up because I can tell because I'm not sleeping. So it's hard to explain.
It is hard to explain. It's weird. And let me ask you, though, the same question, Stacy. If you were to be able to see something for the first time, what would you want that to be?
Well, I would love to see my son's face. He'll be 20 in April. I would love to see his face. He lives in North Carolina. He moved last year, but we were very close.
Yeah.
That'd be the awesomest thing, to see his face for the first time.
That would be great.
So I wanted to share coincidences with you. One, I'm not sure if it's really you call it coincidence, but back in, my grandma passed on in 96, and I couldn't be there by her bedside. And she has 13 grandchildren, and she says, one is missing, but she couldn't remember who it was. And my mom put my picture in her hand and goes, Mom, it was Stacy. She can't be here today. So once she saw my picture, she passed on.
Huh.
And I went over close, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, when I was married in the 90s, where my husband at the time, his car muffler was wrong. Something was wrong with the muffler. And we're going to go fix it, but we flipped right over because this truck was coming at us, and he swerved to miss it, so we flipped over. It was an Impala, and we had our seatbelts on, and the town that we had the accident in, he knew somebody that we can walk there, to their house that he hadn't seen for years, and he flagged this truck down, and he picked us, and I said we couldn't go in the car because I didn't know the person, but we had to take our chances, and we said, okay, bring us to so-and-so's house, and the guy knew who these people were, and he brought us right to their house.
How about that? hey, by the way, when you dream, do you see things in your dream?
No, see, I lost my sight when I was 2, so I don't remember seeing, but when I'm dreaming about something, say if I'm dreaming about dancing, I'm doing the dancing in my dreaming. I'm doing what I'm dreaming. It's like a 3D.
Can you see people, like, dancing in a dream?
No, I just can hear them.
Really? So even in a dream, you can't see?
Right, I have sensation in my dream, smell, taste, hear, and I'm participating when I'm dreaming about. But
you do not dream visually. That's interesting.
No.
I guess because you have no basis for that, right?
Right. Some people that lost their sight later in life do.
They will do that. Okay. Right. That's a good point. Okay. Hey, thanks, Stacy. Appreciate it. Did something today, too. I tracked down one of my high school buddies. We used to chum around all the time. And when he was 17, 18, as soon as he was out of high school, he and our other buddy, Steve, enlisted in the Air Force, and they were going in as a buddy group, and old George was, of course, going to college and was not interested in going in the military, to be sure. But Rick and Steve went in, they got recruited, and then about 2 weeks later, before they got called up, Steve got into a car accident and was killed. He was in a Volkswagen, and he went right through the windshield. Horrible. So Rick ended up going to the Air Force for a couple of years by himself. He got out. He was about 20, 21. At that time, I was working at a radio station. But we stayed close. And, you know, we'd go over each other's houses, and we stayed close. And talked to him today. And it's really weird, folks, when you talk to somebody that you were with in your early 20s, and all this time has passed, and he sounds the same. He said, I sounded the same. He's still married to the girl he got married to then. He's still in the same house he was in then, the house I used to go visit him in. I remember it. I even asked him if he still had that table in the kitchen, and he admitted they did. But it's really strange. And the other strange thing is, as you talk about all the people that you had known in high school who have passed on, who have died, and the clock ticks, it really does. So, you know, you come away with a profound thought about life to just really make the time that you're spending right now the best you can, and don't waste it. Don't waste a day of it at all. We're going to come back in a second. We're going to have more open lines for you. So those of you who have been on hold for a while, don't hang up. I'll get right to you, and we will get all of that taken care of. We've got a great shows in store for you for the rest of the week. We're going to talk a little bit about strange things that happened in the Victorian era tomorrow night. So we're going to be doing part of that. And then, of course, spookier open lines on Friday. This week's almost over already. Truly unbelievable. I'm going back to St. Louis in 2 weeks for a month. I've got a major event in Cincinnati. Full details at coasttocoastam.com. So make sure you look at my calendar, which is at the top. Just click hosts and it'll come up. On our next Coast to Coast program, as I mentioned, of course, we're going to be talking about the Victorian unsolved murders, and then we're also going to be talking about the secret history of cyber warfare. So looking forward to that on our next Coast to Coast show as we move then toward Friday and special open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, George Norrie back with you, our final segment of open lines here. And let's go right to the phones. Let's go to some of the people who have been waiting a very long time to get on. First-time caller, Matt in Oceanside, California. Hello, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks for holding so long.
You know, hey, from a fellow Navy officer to another.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I originally called about there's been a lot of topics that I called about, but I originally called about the Democratic primary.
Okay.
But some of the stem cell things, like you covered all kinds of topics tonight.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I dated a Navy girl, and she had a numb arm. They were actually going to cut it off.
Oh, geez.
And she had stem cell research done, fixed it. Yeah,
they harvest her own stem cells, I bet, and then injected them right back into her arm.
Yep, and she had full function of her arm back.
That's great. How long did that take to get that full function back?
It was probably around 6 to 8 months.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
especially when you're about ready to get it cut off.
Yeah,
you know,
right? I mean,
my
they're gonna cut it off. I mean,
I'd wait the 6 months. That would be worth waiting for.
Yes, it would. Yes, sir, it would. But what I really called in about was about the I called in the other night and was a little late on open line.
Okay.
I'm a Marine Corps captain now, and I was driving out from
Turn your radio down a little bit. I think that's got you.
Yep. Okay.
Hearing yourself coming back.
I was driving out from Oklahoma, from Lawton, Oklahoma.
Uh huh.
And I was driving out to 29 Palms for my first deployment, probably back in 2005, and got a flat tire.
Oh,
believe it or
not. Hate that.
I called in when you called about the flat tire.
Yeah, there's never a good time to have a flat tire ever.
Well, when you're in Western Texas, it's not at all. And I went outside of the truck, you know, to check out my tire or whatnot. Vehicle flew over our head. And it was a triangle vehicle, but it kind of, I want to say a triangle, but the butt end of it was kind of pushed in a little, just a tiny bit. That's what kind of gave me the impression that was the back end of it.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm looking at the tire. I look up and because I kind of heard a little something and I couldn't really tell. People say, can you hear something or whatnot? And I don't know if I could or not.
No, sometimes it's a hum sound.
Well, that something in your chest when you see it, you can't really. When you see something like that, you get this thumping in your chest.
How big was it?
Oh, wow. I've been watching quite a bit of stuff. And at first I thought it was kind of like Arizona Lights type big, like huge. I'm an artillery officer in the Marine Corps. I'm getting out soon. And we're pretty good at judging distance and whatnot.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And I would say it was probably between 1,000 to 2,000 feet in the air.
In the air. But I mean, in terms of size, the craft itself.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it was, I think it was that high, but it was blocking out quite a bit of the stars and everything.
So that's a pretty good size if you think it was about 1,000 feet.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like I don't really know because when you reference height off the ground, I mean I looked up and I'm starting to believe some of your guests that come on and say they're not alien things. There are things.
Well, some of them could be, but this would be 3.5 football fields long. That's pretty long. Wow.
Yeah. And it was blocking out a lot of the stars. There was a half moon up, and it was blocking out that. That's why all I saw was dark on dark. And it kind of went over, and I was looking for some propulsion things because I thought it was one of ours. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. So I was looking for some propulsion type, you know, signatures or whatever. Nothing.
It's like a flying aircraft carrier.
Oh, that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like a flying air. From one Navy guy to another, it looked like a flying aircraft.
Yeah.
Carrier. And I couldn't see anything. And all I heard was the thumping in. Because once I saw it, you know, your chest starts, your heartbeat starts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you see something like that, you don't know what to imagine.
And I don't, that's why I couldn't tell if I could hear anything or not. Cause I mean, all I heard was, the kicking in my chest.
And did it just keep rumbling away?
It went from north to south.
Slowly?
I'm going from East Texas to West. I'm heading out to Twin Palms. And all I hear is the thumping in my chest. And it went from right to left.
Now, did it disappear because of the distance it went, or did it like just vanish?
No, it didn't disappear. I mean, that's what kind of made me think it may have been one of ours, because it floated right past.
If it is ours, we've got anti-gravity already.
That's what's making me think we do. Some of the other things that are kind of classified, I can't really go into, being in our, you know, my last deployment, I got a brief where I kind of, at first I thought it was alien. And I was like, oh, this is an alien craft.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then my last deployment, I was a advisor to the Afghan military. And we got a brief right before we went, you know, full deployment. And they said, if you have a secret clearance, go this way. If you're a fires guy, fires meaning artillery or whatever, mm-hmm. go this way. So I went this way, obviously. And I was the only one that went that way.
You didn't see this there, did you? You didn't see this?
No. But some of the things they told us in that briefing, I went, oh, my God, this is one of ours.
See, I still have my doubts that it's ours. I don't know where they'd put it, and I just don't think we have anything that big. And again, though, I got to go back, as you thought, if it is ours, we've got anti-gravity. Let me take a few more calls before we're out of time. We go to Rob in Vancouver, Canada, on the international line. Welcome to the program, Rob. Good to have you with us.
Well, thanks, George, for having me on.
Sure thing.
I wanted to just build upon your great, you know, message about this insulating the grid.
Yes, got to do it.
Yeah, I've been just something about on the financial side. I've worked in the financial world for 20 plus years, and it amazes me how much paperwork has been put on, has gone electronic, and everything's done.
Oh, everything. Everything, even bank statements now. They're insisting that you go paperless.
Yeah, and I don't understand how people, you know, do everything online and then, you know, move their life savings to a firm and they've got nothing on paper. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's nothing on paper. So, I mean, being in the industry for so long and knowing a bit of the infrastructure, there's two points I want to make. Well, one quick tangent is I was involved in the financing world for a while and in terms of power industry. And the one thing that maybe some of your guests have talked about is that to let people know is that even if the grid goes down, to start it back up again, it takes time. Like, you can't just flick a switch.
No, it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, I mean, even if there was no damage to the grid, there, you know, and you could just turn, you know, the plants back on, it'd take 5 to 7 days because, you know, it's a big balancing act, right, from demand.
And people would go crazy even with 5 days.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, with this, all this financial records online, I mean, even if...
You would have no access to it.
Well, not even forget about access. I mean, you know, whenever you have like a firm, you know, where are the records? And then once things get up and running, so let's say, you know, everything goes down for 30 days, there's so much to figure out what the value of the security, what the value of this, who owns what, whatever.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at 6 months to a year before from what I understand of 20 plus years in the business. So even if you're down for a month, right, to fire everyone back up again, I would say you're easily looking at 6 months before you can really access your whole life savings if you've got nothing on paper.
Oh, my God. It's almost like you've lost it.
Exactly. And, you know, I could see... You know, maybe, you know, you'd have some Fed intervention and they dole out an allowance or something, you know, to, I don't know, keep you afloat.
Well, do you remember years ago when Canada got hit with an outage?
I do, and I was involved in that. It directly affected me. I was, again, I'm an investment advisor, a portfolio manager, and that was a big issue.
How many days were you down?
Well,
it was a week, wasn't it?
For the major centers, but again, it's a process to start it back up again. And, you know, again, I was involved in for about 5 years of trying to finance and build in the energy sector, and I gave up because of the amount of regulatory problems, you know, to try to build something.
Well, I know that's a mess, and depending on what part of the grid infrastructure might have been damaged, it could be much longer than that. We're projecting that if it's a major X flare or EMP, it's down at least a year. And that's where that 90% fatality thing comes in, because everything goes down. Time for a couple more quick calls. Let's go to Bill in Sacramento. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bill.
I love the show. Love it. And I wanted to quickly speak about my pet peeve.
What is that?
We got a lot of young drivers, a lot of elderly drivers now. And they're creating traffic, unnecessary traffic jams.
I got to tell you, I've driven everywhere, some of the worst drivers in California. I got to tell you,
and especially when it's raining.
Okay? Oh my God! Yeah,
they pull up to a stop sign, and there'll be six car lengths behind the car that's in front of them. And you get 7-8 people doing that, and here's a traffic jam that's really be alleviated if we just practice the old standard they used to tell me when I learned to drive: pull up far enough where you can't see the rear tires, and that leaves about four
yep.
feet between, and so that the cars can breathe and everything. And I think we need to start teaching that to some of our young drivers, that we could get them out there to help alleviate some of the traffic jams.
Do you ever, Billy? Do you ever road rage?
No, but now a lot of that creates road rage that I see some of the younger drivers realize that there's all that space, and then they'll cut right in, and the driver in front of them will throw their hands up like, you know.
Yeah, he's the one who gets upset.
Yes, and so it would eliminate a lot of that road rage. Thank God road rage is down somewhat here
yep.
in Sacramento. But now here's another thing I want to mention quickly is that can you do a show in the near future on unit therapy? Because I've been reading a lot about it, and you don't see anything. I haven't read anything bad. It's all been in the favor of all good things.
Huh. Yeah, I guess we could. Would you send me an email about that a little bit more?
Oh, definitely. I would do that.
All right, George at coasttocoastam.com. Lots of you still on hold. You can wait until Friday if you want, when we do more open lines. And you won't lose your place in line. I'm being a little facetious there. I'm sorry we can't get to you because the clock is ticked and we're out of time. And speaking of clocks, don't forget now, Saturday night before you go to bed, because it takes effect at Sunday at 2 a.m., daylight saving time takes effect. Here we go. We're going in the spring. We're going in the summer. So turn the clocks up an hour. Remember the old saying, spring ahead, fall back. It's simple as that. For Dan Galante, Bobo Johnson, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.